Gordon Hayward opts out. It's just one of the things that happened with the Boston Celtics on Thursday. And we're talking more draft with Tom Westerholm of MassLive.com on this Friday, Locked On Celtics. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. Ooh. This the truth like 34. Yeah. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. I am the Boston Celtics beat reporter for MassLive and the host of this podcast. For you new listeners, welcome aboard. Appreciate you joining the show. And this is a regular Monday through Friday podcast, so subscribe, please, to get this podcast on a daily basis. Regular listeners, thank you. Welcome back. Really appreciate you making the show part of your daily routine. Now, normally on Fridays, this show would be a mailbag podcast. The mailbag is still happening, but it's going to be all written on masslive.com/Celtics and publishing Friday morning. So all questions that have been submitted this past week are going to be answered on masslive.com/Celtics. So go read it there. Partly because there weren't a ton of questions, partly because of the madness of the draft and this free agency. I felt like a regular podcast today would be better to talk about Gordon Hayward, his options, and the other things that happened with the Celtics. Vincent Poirier got traded, Enes Kanter opted in, and then a little bit more about the draft. And I do all of that with Tom Westerholm, who is also a Boston Celtics beat writer at MassLive.com. So I just wanted to get all of that stuff kind of, I think, talked about here rather than going into some of these mailbag questions. You can always submit a mailbag question via email, jcorrales@masslive.com, jcorrales@masslive.com. Normally on Fridays, I will answer half of those questions on MassLive and half on this podcast and kind of mix it up. But this week, a little bit different. But again, still email me those questions and I will answer them generally on Fridays. For now, that discussion about the draft, about the Boston Celtics business that was conducted, and Gordon Hayward opting out. It's all a conversation that I had with Tom Westerholm. Okay, Tom, take two. For people who are listening to this, this is the second time that we're doing this. So it's been my experience, though, Tom, that I usually think that podcasts the second time around go better. Like, we thought about things. We've said stupid things. I'm going to not say that stupid thing again. I'm done. So, like, I feel like this is going to be a much more streamlined podcast. We're ready to go.
In my experience, podcasts like the second and third time around get super stilted. And I have a lot of experience with this because when Nicole Yang and I were starting the Genotime pod, we got so nervous about like our first takes that we would literally just be like, do you want to just do that again? We'd be like, yeah, let's just go back. let's try it. Let's do it all over. It would take us like 3 hours just to record it. So,
well, yeah. See, already what's different in this podcast is you dropped the plug to your podcast like right away. Where in the last one, we had to wait till the end for me to plug your podcast.
I'm a vet now.
You're learning.
I'm a vet now. You know? Yeah. Savvy.
Yeah.
Coach's son. I'm in the gym a lot.
You're gritty. You're a hard-nosed worker.
Gritty. Me and Peyton Pritchard, just gritty.
All the other buzzwords to describe a white player that nobody knows about is gritty. That's hard, right? Worker.
More people should know about me. That's what I think.
So let's get going here. Gordon Hayward's obviously the big thing that we don't know a damn thing about, but we're going to talk about. He's opted out. We know that. Mm-hmm. So now we're looking at what's next. And no one knows. It appears that Gordon Hayward does not know because Mark Murphy of the Herald, good friend Murph, tweeted out.
Shout out Murph.
Shout out Murph. Murph doesn't get enough shout outs on podcasts. Murph
he
is
really
awesome.
Doesn't. Murph is a king.
Murph's the OG, man. He's like, and he's like awesome. He's like just a fun, like just a fun guy to have around. Low key, like funny. Like he's just a good dude.
Very funny.
So he had the report that basically this is just the start of a process and that even Gordon Hayward doesn't even really know what the next step is, but this is like the formality because it feels like he could opt in and then he gives up all of his leverage. Celtics would just say, all right, well, okay, you're opting in, and then you shop him and he just goes wherever. And then who knows what? By opting out, he now has some power to say, I can walk, I can go to one of these other teams, or we can work together on a sign-and-trade, and or we can work on a deal here. Like, that's still possible. The Celtics could still work something out. We've gotten into this, we've got this into our heads like, oh, well, he's got to be gone because of all the reports that we've heard. But he hasn't said it. We don't know. Maybe he will stay. But those are the options. Stay, sign and trade, or walk, and right now it doesn't feel like anybody really knows where this is going.
Yeah, it's so funny because it's like we just don't really even have a sense for like what he wants. Like, does he want to stay and compete for a championship? I mean, I would assume that pretty much all three options are going to be about the same amount of money. Like, I don't know what Gordon Hayward is going to get. It feels like it's going to be something like, you know, something in the 4-year range, something between, I mean, somewhere between like 16 and 25 million a year. Like, I don't know where it's going to be, but somewhere in that range, right? Like, that seems reasonable.
I feel like that's right.
Yeah. So like wherever it is, like the money is going to be about the same. Like, he's going to get like longer term money. I mean, we think that's why he opted out, because, you know, obviously he could have made a ton of money this year, but instead he would rather have the long-term security. And that makes a lot of sense. It's just, so now it just comes down to like, does he want to be closer to home? Does he want to be in Indiana? Is it something where he wants to try to compete for a championship? He's never won one. You know, does he want to be the number one option? Does he want to play in like a big market? Like, that doesn't seem like Gordon Hayward, but like, I don't know, maybe he's had a change of heart and all of a sudden he wants to be a big Manhattan guy. I don't know. he's tough to pin down. Like, it is tough to pin down exactly what he wants, especially because in pretty much any of those scenarios, I think the money is going to be like largely comparable. Like, he's probably going to be making about the same amount wherever he actually,
sure,
and like in any of those three scenarios. So like, I don't know. It's a confusing situation.
It is very confusing. Look, I've been a Manhattan guy. I cannot picture Gordon Hayward as a Manhattan guy. And first of all, like, you go there and what are you going to get for a family of six, you know, with four young kids? If you're living in Manhattan, you're spending a ton of money, and then you get taxed state, federal, and city taxes. That money does not go very far. Like, that's a very easy way to be draining your bank account by going to the Knicks and living in Manhattan. So, I don't know. Maybe who knows? I personally,
well, I've often said that Gordon Hayward seems like a Bronx guy to me, like Harlem, you know.
Yes,
like more of that.
Very much, very much. Yeah. If he's not like living in Dumbo, you know, working on a blog.
Now you're just making up words, man.
That's like, people who know. I feel like, okay, you don't opt out without feeling like you've got an offer, a potential offer somewhere. And that can really only be from a couple of teams. So
yeah, exactly.
He probably feels good about signing with one of these teams at a number that's acceptable. But if he really wanted to do that, then this would be it. He'd opt out and that would be it. And I don't think we'd hear the reports of what we're hearing. I mean, it could be some smokescreen stuff, but like, why? Like, so it's a possibility. I feel like the more likely possibilities are sign and trade, or staying in Boston. And, you know, it's so hard to pin down, like you said, what he wants. He probably wants something for himself. He probably wants something for his family. He probably wants something for his team. He's got loyalty to a team and teammates. I feel like that's something that does play into it. And those might be competing, for all we know. I don't know what his motivations are. But this does feel like just the first step. And basically, the Celtics have a deadline now of when free agency opens this weekend to figure out a sign and trade or figuring out what they want to do to keep him. What's their price? And is Atlanta or New York going to come up at a price that's bigger than what the Celtics are willing to do? So that I think is what it boils down to. And if it's a sign and trade, can they work something out with Indiana that gets them what they want?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's funny with the sign and trades too. Basically to me, it just comes down to like, if you're doing the sign and trade, you're going to have to resign yourself to the fact that like, if you want your team to be as good as last year, it's going to have to have, you're going to have to get real creative because you're not going to get like Gordon Hayward value back.
Right.
Like,
right.
He's a good player. Like, and then the Celtics, we saw in the playoffs, the Celtics really need him. So like, yeah. Okay. If you work something out with Indiana where you got Miles Turner coming back, I mean, I'm not high on Miles Turner. I don't think that's great. Like if you work out something with Atlanta where you got Clint Capella coming back, like, okay, Clint Capella is a good player. And like, you know, is he enough of an upgrade over like a Daniel Tice to the point that like it makes up for losing a really talented wing? Like, I don't think so. So, I don't know, man. it's so hard to say right now. Cause it's just like, we're like, you know, 18 hours or whatever away from, 20 hours, whatever it is away from free agency actually starting. And I just feel like we have so little clarity on anything that anybody's looking at there. It almost makes me wonder a little bit if there's just like not really anything in the works. Like if all the sides are just kind of like, you know, man, I hope we can figure something out, but there's like nothing out there. Nobody's been like, you know, like there's some smoke, but I wonder like what is even available right now. And if anything's even being discussed.
I mean, God, I would hope something's being discussed. We're like 2 days. The training camp opens in 2 weeks. Something better be discussed.
No leaks. Like, the NBA is so leaky. How have we heard nothing aside from like it's the Knicks, I guess?
Like, it's leaky, like but like at. When it doesn't want to be, it certainly can plug those leaks. Like, how many different things have happened recently where you're like, oh, wow, this is a surprise?
Yeah.
There have been those things. I mean, as opposed to the Bogdanovich debacle, that is like the worst leak of all leaks. Like, what a dumb thing to have happened. But if both sides want to keep it quiet, then they can keep it quiet. It's just a matter of both sides agreeing to this.
Yeah.
I love that we've done this podcast now twice, and we're still at, I don't know, when it comes to Gordon Hayward. We've not reached any sort of clarity at all.
I feel like we've solved it.
Okay, great.
You guys are welcome.
Back to talk about the Celtics business that was conducted on Thursday. Vincent Poirier gone. Enes Kanter opted in. A couple of other things. That's all next. So stick around. Built Bar. I keep talking about Built Bar because it's delicious. It's awesome. I love these things. They're like little candy bars, but it's actually a protein bar. They come in 18 different flavors. They've got flavors for people with nut allergies. So something like cookies and cream or cherry barcia. Look, check it out. Go to builtbar.com. Check out these different flavors. There's 18 of them that are awesome. But all of these protein bars are covered in 100% chocolate. But they're great if you're health conscious, if you're looking to lose or maintain weight, because they're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. I love the peanut butter ones. When I go to the gym, I pack a peanut butter Built Bar with me, and I know after I'm done lifting weights, this thing's going to give me 19 grams of protein, but with 180 calories, so it's not going to blow out my cardio. Go to builtbar.com, try it for yourself. Use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get 20% off your next order. If you've already done that, you can still use the promo code again. So use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. Well, since we solved Gordon Hayward, why don't we solve some of this other stuff? You know, let's just move on. The Celtics have made other moves.
Solve another one.
Let's go. All right.
Brown over here.
Vincent Poirier is gone to Oklahoma City. You like that?
Vinny Thunderpants. Let's get
Vinny
it.
Vinny Thunderpants. You know, he would probably, he has never quite grasped the exact nuance of that nickname. So I think he would say Vinny Sex Thunder.
Yeah.
Because he's not quite understood what Vinny Sex Pants really means. But
I think he's just really proud that everyone knows that he's having sex.
Hey, I mean, sometimes you just got to let him know. So, yeah. So he's in OKC. The OKC Thunder tweeted out, like, just, you know, a little while ago, welcome to the squad, Vincent Poirier. So that's going to be interesting, considering that when the Celtics traded him in cash over to the Thunder, that's usually, you know, we'll pay you to waive the guy. Like,
yeah, right.
Are they going to tweet out welcome to the squad and then cut him like in a few days? Like, ah, thanks, bye, see ya. What a wild online time. The Celtics forgot his birthday. Like, and then now this.
Celtics forgot his birthday in a French magazine. He said that he told Brad Stevens that he wants more playing time, and then clarified by telling me that he wants more playing time. Like, he didn't really like change anything that he said.
That's not what I meant. I meant to say, I want more playing time.
Yeah.
I mean, well, look, if the Thunder truly want to tank, playing Vincent Poirier a lot is the way to do it. So maybe he will play a bunch.
Maybe he will. I said this to Nicole. Like, I hope he gets some playing time. Like, I mean, we don't know. Like, the Celtics, like, he played 22 games. He averaged, you know, what, like 2 minutes per game. Like, that's because, like, he probably played like 6 minutes in one game and it bumped him up a little bit. Like,
right. It was 6 minutes because he had three games. I looked it up. He averaged 5.9 minutes per game because he had three games where he played more than 10 minutes. Two blowouts and that game in Orlando where he sucked.
Right. So, like, you know, he came into the NBA. He was trying to, like, you know, like get used to the league, and he never played. Like, we have no idea if he can hoop. And, like, it's funny, like, to think back to, like, OKC. It's funny that he's going to OKC because I think back to, like, Abdel Nader, who in Boston, literally, like, I'm not exaggerating, looked like the worst basketball player in the NBA. And then, I'm not even joking. He was terrible. He goes to OKC, and all of a sudden, he's, like, kind of useful.
Sure.
So I don't know. I hope Vinny gets a chance. I hope he, I don't know. I hope he's able to contribute something.
I mean, look, sure. I from what I saw of him, man, he just looked slow. All of his movements looked slow. Now, yeah. maybe he just never had the chance, but I never saw in him a guy that was like, oh yeah, he just needs playing time. When I saw him play, I was like, he is not an NBA player. That,
yeah, for sure.
Look, maybe that'll change, but who knows? But he's in OKC now. The Celtics have created a $2.5 million trade exception. They sent Poirier. They sent over cash. And then they got back a protected second-round pick. One of those, I don't know what the protections are, but I think it's like one of those second-round picks that's protected for, like, what is it, 31 through, like, 59.
Right, right.
And so it'll never convey. Just it's there because they needed to trade something back. So
imagine if you're Whit Grosbeck and, like, you just literally had to, like, send cash to get Vinny Poirier off your team.
Yeah.
Tough hit.
It's tough. It's tough. But they had to open up that roster spot. That's one roster spot they opened up. Okay, so Vinny Poirier is gone. That trade exception, those trade exceptions, $2.5 million, are very rarely used. But who knows? Maybe that'll become useful. They did pick up the option on Semi Ojeleye, but he's non-guaranteed until Sunday. So
Saturday, but yeah.
Saturday, yes, Saturday. So they can still cut him in a couple of days. So that's still out there. And Enes Kanter opted in. And now we've got
just about Semi before you move on there.
Yes.
I would also add that like both Adam Himmelsbach and common sense kind of dictate that like Shemmy's probably gone.
Yes, that is true. Brad Wanamaker, by the way, also no qualifying offer there. We'll see what happens with that. But right now he's unrestricted. Kanter opted in. We'll see what the Celtics do with that. Interestingly enough, the Memphis pick that the Celtics traded 30 to Memphis, that has not officially been announced by the Celtics. Right. So
they noted it in their press release, and they said like it was very strange phrasing. They were like they said the Celtics are working on a trade to send Desmond Bain to the Grizzlies, and we'll have no further comment at this time or something like that.
It was
strange phrasing for a press release.
So yeah, so it's interesting to me that hasn't been finalized. So I wonder if Kanter is going to go to Memphis along with that 30th pick. That seems to be, we've talked about this a million times. The plan for the Celtics in this draft, and we'll talk about the draft in a minute, you make one pick. If you couldn't trade up, you make one pick, you stash another, and you use 30 to get off of a salary. And okay, so maybe it doesn't quite go like that because the stash came in the second round, but you draft one guy, you use 30 potentially to get rid of Enes Kanter, and the only variance is that you use 26 to pick up a guy that may have been a reach. But if that's indeed what is happening here, then the Celtics are just slowly maneuvering to get some of these roster spots open. I wonder if these are the things that need to happen before anything happens with Gordon Hayward. So Poirier has to go, Kanter has to go, Ojeleye has to go, or maybe you need Ojeleye and you to make the deal work or something. But these guys have to go before you move Hayward to bring in a couple of players.
Yeah.
This could just be like lining up the dominoes and making like these things happen.
Yeah, I mean, that makes a lot of sense. Somehow that simultaneously makes a lot of sense and also is extremely Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia connecting the strings on a
Pepe Sylvia. Exactly. It doesn't exist.
It's real Pepe Sylvia energy while also like, yeah, no, that like I could see that.
So, yeah. Yeah. I like that. So the Celtics are making their moves and kind of restructuring the end of their bench. And so it's possible that Wanamaker could come back. There's no reason why. I mean, he was basically on a minimum deal. So yeah, it doesn't matter if you, didn't they do the same thing last year that
they did?
Yeah. So it's the same. It's the same thing. So he was back. It looked like he was gone and then he's back and now it looks like he's gone. Yeah. Maybe he'll be back. I don't know.
Like just to that point, like they're doing him kind of a favor by like not making him a restricted free agent. They're saying like, you know, it's kind of a good faith thing. Like, yeah, I mean, if you know, we're not going to kill your market value. And if Gordon Hayward is gone, like we might want you back and, you know, we'd love for you to consider us. Like, I think it's a, you know, kind of nice for both sides. Yeah. That they're doing that. It's good business.
It is good business. And you know what? I think it's important for people to know like these little nuanced things, like, That type of thing is part of kind of playing ball with agents. That when you have a guy like that, like people tend to want to think like, oh yeah, you make him restricted, no one's gonna bid on him, and you just have him kind of hanging there. Like, okay, but that's kind of a dick move, and agents like to have that type of energy. You know, you're talking about, I don't know who his agent is, but it's just like the signal, like these little things. Why do guys get bought out? because that's like playing ball. Your guy doesn't want to be here. We kind of don't need him. But yeah, we'll buy him out because we don't want to get screwed over in the next negotiation. Or we want, if you have a client that we want, like we want you to consider us. So if the agent's like, yeah, you know, these guys did right by us. Let's go talk to them. Let's go see. That's why some of these things happen. So it, just to throw it out there that when you wonder like, huh, I don't get it. That's why a lot of the times.
Just a quick side note on that. I believe that Wanamaker's agent is actually same agent as Romeo Langford and Marcus Smart, Happy Walters. If I'm not mistaken.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think so. Yeah. Oh. I could be wrong, but yeah.
Well, see, there you go. And then the last order of business, Taco Fall and Tremont Waters got qualifying offers. So
news which was broken by the Boston Celtics.
Yeah. I like that. I respect that the Celtics are like announcing their own stuff. Like, why leak it to what? I got to talk to somebody in there. Like, throw me a bone. Why not? Like, let me break Vincent Poirier. Like, who gives a crap if I break Vincent Poirier? Like, I get it. You want the big news to get out there. You're going to give it to Woj, but throw me a Poirier. Throw me a Tremont Waters gets a qualifying offer. Let me say sources say for once, damn it.
When I get signed to an NBA team, I'll make sure that you're the one who gets to break it.
Thanks. Let me know how that goes on 2K.
Okay.
Up next, the draft. Tom's thoughts on what the Celtics did on draft night. Tom follows the draft very closely. He's the Mass Live draft expert. We're going to get his thoughts on what happened next. Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram. Let's shift over to the draft. You're the draft guy. You're the draft guy.
The only one. Nobody else follows the draft.
Nope. You're the only guy. You're the authority. Hey, every time I write a draft story on Mass Live, I always refer to you as Mass Live draft expert Tom Westerholm. So, you know, see, that's called playing the game. That's called throwing you a bone. Now, when people Google Tom Westerholm, it's Mass Live draft expert Tom Westerholm. There you are in Google results.
And see, that's how you end up getting to break that the Oklahoma City Thunder have signed me to a 3-year deal. So,
exactly. You know. See, yeah. That's playing the game. So there is a fair segment of the Celtics fandom that's pissed about this draft. And I've personally encountered someone who made the grand gesture of announcing to me on Twitter that he has unfollowed, unsubscribed. Yes, horns, you know, the knights on horses with those things draped over their eyes. The big, like, I have unfollowed thee. That's because people like want to do that. So this person unsubscribed from the podcast because I said, yeah, Danny Ainge didn't do so bad. Like, yeah. I'm supposed to say Danny Ainge didn't do what we thought he was going to do, so he sucks, right? That's
fire
the take.
Danny Ainge.
That's the take. So they were not able to trade up. There were no real big trade up moves. You know, Minnesota talked about trading down. The Warriors talked about trading down. A lot of teams in the top, like basically every team in the top 10 talked about trading down. None of them did. And so the Celtics stayed at 14 and got a good player. They got a good player. Tom, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, when you come away from the draft with a player who's widely considered to have the best, to be the best at a certain skill, you've done okay.
Especially a skill like shooting. Like,
pretty important skill.
It's a pretty important skill.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, look, like Naismith's a good player. Like, or Neesmith, I guess, is how he's pronounced. I've literally always said Naismith, which it goes to show you how much film I've watched, but also like how like little, like Vanderbilt is not a team that I ever went out of my way to watch. Like I've watched a ton of like silent film of right. Just, like Aaron Neesmith, like running through screens and stuff. Yeah, anyway, never heard anybody pronounce his name, really. So, you know, he's a good player though. I mean, he's a really good shooter. He averaged like 20 points a game and he can't create his own shot. Like that kind of tells you a lot about like his offense. He's like,
right.
He's deadly. And like, he's so deadly that like, you know, it's worth noting that, the teams that he played against were garbage. That the first, like, he played 14 games in his sophomore season. All of those teams were very bad. But that said, I mean, it, like, whether you're playing a good team or a bad team, a three-pointer is still a three-pointer. He made so many three-pointers. So, I mean, you know, he's a good player. He's going to bring floor spacing right away. I think that he's going to, like, his worst-case scenario as a defender at, like, 6'6 with good muscle and, like, he's a smart guy. I think at worst case, he's like a mild plus, you know, I think best case, he's a very good team defender. I think there's a very real chance of that. So, you know, I know there were some people who were mad about the pick and to those people, I would just be like, I don't know who you guys wanted them to take. Like, did you want them to take Desmond Bane? Cause that guy ended up going 30. Like, did you want them to take, I don't know, Precious Achiuwa? They already have Grant Williams. So like,
right.
I don't know. Like, and obviously like Precious and Grant are slightly different players, but they feel a little bit, you know, similar, but I don't know, like Naismith's a good player. He's going to contribute right away. And, you know, I think he's going to help on both ends. So that I thought it was I gave it a B+. I mean, I don't think the Celtics blew me out of the water with the pick, but they took a guy who was right there and who would have been right in that tier of player that I would have taken. So it's a good one.
I think what happened in this draft is centered around the Peyton Pritchard selection. That yeah. People do not understand the Pritchard selection. And therefore, this was a bad draft. The Celtics didn't do what they expected. And I said this yesterday about expectations. The Celtics were supposed to trade up. Everybody put it out there. The Celtics are supposed to trade up. And these are the players who are good. And if, you know, when we see that these players are still on the board when the Celtics are picking and the Celtics don't pick them, then the Celtics are the ones that are wrong. Because I've read everything. I've read everything that there is about the draft, and I know that Desmond Bane is supposed to be better than this guy, and they didn't pick him, so obviously they're morons for not picking Desmond Bane. Like, okay, well, you don't know anything about what's going to happen. These guys haven't played a second, and Bane went 30th, which means all of these other teams throughout the entire draft said, nope, not good enough. He had opportunities to be taken before 30. Nah, not good enough. That doesn't mean anything necessarily as far as like guys in the second round have become stars. You know, Manu Ginobili, Draymond Green. Like, there are notable second-round picks that are stars, and so who knows? Something, you know, shit happens. But when what you've been reading from all of us doesn't match what the GMs do, then for some reason, the GMs are always the one that are wrong. It's never us. It's never the fans. It's always the GM who's wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, and that's the funny thing, right? Is like, when the pick initially came in with Peyton Pritchard, I texted Chris Granum, who's been on the, let me get a second plug in here. Who's been on the Genotime podcast with me talking about the draft quite a bit. I texted him and I was just like, wow, that's a terrible pick. Granum likes Peyton Pritchard. He disagreed. As the night went on, you know, the thing is though, that like, So I'm really high on Tyrell Terry. I think he's going to be a really good player. He went, I think, 31st to the Mavs. I 100% stopped paying attention after the 30th pick because I had way too much to do. But I'm pretty sure he went 31st to the Mavs. The thing is that like Danny Ainge clearly has a different evaluation of Peyton Pritchard and of Tyrell Terry than I do. And it's like, who are you going to believe? Like the guy who, like I watch a lot of college basketball. I watch a lot of film. I pay attention to the draft literally year round. But you know what? Danny Ainge goes to these games. Like you cannot say that the Celtics are lazy. Danny Ainge, Austin Ainge, Mike Zarin, Dave Lewin, like these guys go to games constantly. They are out on the road scouting these guys. They were in Eugene, Oregon a bunch watching Peyton Pritchard. Pritchard has been there for 4 years. They have had, and they've been scouting the Pac-12 heavily. They have a lot of experience watching Peyton Pritchard, a lot of experience that I don't have. You know, I've seen Pritchard.
Right.
I've watched him in games. He was never my focus. But that's kind of the point, right? Is that he was the focus for some of these guys. So if you're Danny Ainge and you like the guy who was a consensus All-American, who was the Pac-12 player of the year, who averaged 20 points a game, who can, you know, shoot from three and break guys down off the dribble and push the pace and do all this stuff, and who, you know, is a really hard worker, who got a co-sign from Damian Lillard. Like, I mean, you know, like maybe Peyton Pritchard is good. Maybe maybe the guys, you know, who are sitting on their couch watching college basketball aren't quite, you know, maybe our evaluations aren't quite as good as the people who are actually, you know, out scouting these games. And I think that's like, you know, you and I have talked about this. Like, I think that's kind of where this kind of groupthink comes in, where I think Desmond Bane is going to be a very good player, but you know, like, I think that, and like other draft people think that, and I'm sure that we've all kind of fed into each other, where we all say like, man, Desmond Bane is going to be so good. And if you're Danny Ainge and you have your own evaluation and you have your own rubric, it might look very different than ours, and that can break right through the group thing. So I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have taken Peyton Pritchard, but again, who are you going to trust, like me or Danny Ainge? Because like, Danny Ainge has a pretty good track record, despite what Twitter pundits say.
Right. His track record is really not like people. One of the great things that he has is outside of the top three, he can't draft anybody. That's a good one. We're talking about here the 26th pick in the draft. And if Danny Ainge misses on the 26th pick in the draft, he will join every other GM in history in missing on the 26th pick in the draft at some point in their careers. Like, this is not where stars are generally found. Sometimes guys pass a certain point. Yeah, they can materialize into stars. Like I said, there are some big names that have gone in the second round. But if Pritchard is not the right guy and he flames out, so be it. All the Celtics need is one of these guys. I wrote this on masslive.com. Celtics just need one of these two guys to become a good player. And you forget that the other, it's like, oh, what draft did we get Neesmith in? Oh yeah, that was the 2020 draft. You know, if it's 2024 and he's in the final year of a rookie contract and we're discussing how much his extension is going to be worth, then the 2020 draft was a success. Congratulations, you came away with a useful player. A team that went to the conference finals used the 14th pick in the draft, which he traded for. He got this for Jeff Green, remember? This team turned that into the 14th pick, and if that 14th pick becomes a useful player on a team that just went to the conference finals, then it is a good draft. Is it a great draft? No, it's not an A-plus draft, but it's a B, and that's fine for a team in this position. Most teams in this position don't even get a chance to get a B.
And I will say, I understand that like some of the angst from Celtics fans is because teams like the Sixers had a great draft. Like Sixers got I think they got a lot better. And you know, but I will also say that I think the Sixers did a lot of the business that they will probably conduct on draft night. The Celtics might do a lot of the business that they will conduct on the first night of free agency. Like this, like, you know, just because the Celtics draft was Aaron Nesmith and Peyton Pritchard does not mean that this is the exact Celtics team that is going to enter the regular season. So, you know, yes, I think the Sixers had a better draft than the Celtics. You know, history will determine if I'm right or not. I think, you know, around this time last, well, not this time because coronavirus, but right after the draft last year, everybody was saying that the Celtics absolutely fleeced the Sixers. And, you know, then the Sixers got Matisse Thybulle, who like was a huge contributor. And the Celtics had like, you know, one guy who kind of came off the bench. Like Grant Williams played a little bit in the playoffs, but for the most, like Romeo Langford didn't play in the playoffs. You know, Carson Edwards didn't play in the playoffs. Like that draft that was supposedly this huge moment for the Celtics ended up like, you know, the Sixers ended up looking pretty good. Maybe that happens in reverse this time. Like the Sixers looked like they did great. maybe the Celtics, you know, will look a lot better. Maybe Naismith comes in and hits like 4 3-pointers a game in his like rookie season. Like, I don't know. Like that's kind of like the Gordon Hayward situation. Right. We just don't know yet. You know, I think that's one of the fun things about the draft. And it's one of the things that makes the draft really entertaining is the uncertainty is compelling, you know, like you don't know what these guys are going to turn into. It could be anything. It could even be a boat. So maybe the Celtics got a boat.
That's true. Before we wrap it up, last question. Do you think that Neesmith's shooting ability is going to be something that allows him to get on the floor right away, even in a shortened offseason like this?
I think so. I mean, he's such a good shooter, man. Like, and there's just so much value in floor spacing. There's so much, like, it's going to make life. He said it in his interview right after the draft. He said, he called himself an absolute sniper, which was a heck of a quote. But then he followed it up by saying, my goal essentially is to make life easier for Jason Tatum, for Jaylen Brown, for Kemba Walker. Like, he gets what he's being brought in to do. And he's fully capable of doing it. So I think he'll get on the floor quickly. Like, you look back at last year's playoff team, and Semi Ojeleye was getting like really significant minutes, like really pretty consistent minutes. Aaron Naismith is a much, much, much better shooter than Semi Ojeleye. He's also kind of built like Semi Ojeleye. So, like, you know, maybe not quite to that extent. Google Aaron Neesmith shirtless. That's all I'm saying.
I mean, I'm not saying he's not in shape. I'm just saying, like, he still has like, he's probably,
I'm
like
encouraging everybody to get some weird stuff in their Google history, but
maybe you should not Google that.
You know, do whatever you want, man. I don't care.
Hey, yeah, I guess.
But you know, Neesmith is like he's. I think that on this Celtics bench, like we'll see what else they add and all that, but like on the Celtics bench, I really could see him getting in quickly. They need shooting, they need spacing. He can really do that, and if he can just be like not a huge negative on the defensive end, I don't think there's any question that he'll be on the floor if that's the case.
All right. Well, that went much more smoothly than the first attempt, which was disrupted like 4 different times, which is why it didn't work. You know,
At one point, my son literally just like clicked off the internet, and that was the end of the podcast,
which is hilarious. I love it. I love it. He's like, your takes suck. Click. No more internet for you.
It's like, Dad, you're going to have to start over. This is garbage.
All right. Everybody go listen to the Geno Time podcast. Tom's on Twitter at Tom.
You know, I like this take better because there were 3 Geno Time plugs.
3. Yeah. As opposed to like. I think we had 2 the last time, so you got 1 extra one out of me. Like, I mean, I can edit one out. Like, don't be so sure.
I shouldn't have said anything.
Yeah, you know, shit. So
he's not going to edit one out. It's 10 o'clock.
I'm not. I'm certainly not. One of the reasons why I wanted to do this over again from the beginning is because I did not want to edit together. I just wanted to do one take and lay it down and be done. So you're right. Geno Time Pod, Tom_NBA. Tom is my beat partner on MassLive.com, so go check out MassLive.com/Celtics. You'll see, unless we added an Audible feature, I don't know. You'll see pieces from both Tom and from me, so go check that out. Tom, thank you very much, sir.
Appreciate you, man.
Tom's a good dude. Follow him on Twitter. Follow his stuff over there at MassLive. While you're there, read my stuff too. Why not? And like I said, for the 4th time here, the Geno Time podcast with him. And Nicole Yang of the Boston Globe. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you're a new listener, I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you subscribe. Again, regular Friday mailbag continues next week, unless some massive thing happens, but probably going to just be a mailbag next Friday. jcorrales@masslive.com. Send me that. Monday, we'll talk about what happens with Gordon Hayward, unless something huge happens over the weekend. Maybe I will find a way to get an emergency podcast up. I love characterizing it as an emergency podcast. Oh my God, it's an emergency. You need a podcast. But I will do an extra podcast if Gordon Hayward, something monumental happens over the weekend with Gordon Hayward. You never know. So stick around if you're a new listener. subscribe. You'll get this directly to your device. Regular listeners, I appreciate those 5-star ratings and those good written reviews. And of course, sharing the podcast is awesome. Tell your friends to be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.